Hey guys, awesome episode today. We got blowjob drama and mother-in-law issues. Lots of fun. Enjoy. Share with a friend. Welcome to the J Train Podcast. This is J Train, Jared Fried, coming to you live from Harlem, New York City. We're every Tuesday and Friday with your emails, your stories, your questions. That's right. We're live. The studio audience is hot. That's right. They are on fire. Everyone is here. The group, we are flame throwing, ready to go. Oh, Feather Studios is really killing it today. What a studio audience.
They're really bringing it today.
They really bring a lot of energy, and then they immediately go away. It's crazy. I'm very... It's been quite a ride with you guys. We got a great guest alert. Hit that button, Shelby. Oh, he's here. An OKP, a fan favorite, my favorite... Mateo Lane, thank you for coming on.
This is so...
He's back. That's right.
This is the song my best friend Bob the Drag Queen lip-synced to and beat Derek Barry.
In what?
RuPaul's
in
Drag
RuPaul's
Race.
RuPaul's Drag Race. I was brought into the RuPaul Drag Race. Oof, I like watched a couple episodes.
I can't believe you've not watched... That show is made for you. You just have to watch the right season.
I didn't realize.
Which season did you watch?
I don't know what season I watched, but I watched with my girlfriend, and she was sitting here explaining the difference between the seasons and how important that is to the watching experience. And I think you've explained this to me, too, where there's like... All Stars, and then
right. You don't want to start with All Stars because All Stars
there's backstory.
You need to know these characters and what they're bringing to the table and why it's so important. So you got to start. I recommend starting with season 6.
Okay,
most people recommend starting with season 4. Some say just start with the first.
You don't just start with Infinity Wars.
You can't watch Endgame without watching the first Avengers
because
you're like, who are these people and why should I care about them?
I need to care about the characters and Bob the Drag Queen. Would you consider him the most famous?
Bob is really up there. Bob won season 8.
And I apologize.
No.
What's the proper pronoun?
If you're he or she doesn't matter.
He or she, for a drag queen, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, Bob even has a joke. He's like, gays at some point just start referring to inanimate objects as she's. Like, it doesn't, that's how you know when you're really gay.
Yeah.
He won season 8. He's the first black queen besides RuPaul to get over 1 million followers on Instagram.
Huge.
I would say Bianca Del Rio, just follower-wise, and maybe like, she might be the most known, but I mean, there's Trixie Mattel, there's Alyssa, there's Alaska,
now
there's
you
Bob.
You have an eclectic group of friends in this.
I have two of my best friends are winners of RuPaul's Drag Race.
Hilarious.
Which is insane because in my world, it's just completely normal. It's Monet Exchange and Bob the Drag Queen. We're all in a crew.
Yeah.
But it would literally be like you being best friends with two of the Bachelors.
If I just knew them so well.
Like best friends.
Really?
Yeah. Like the other day, Monet was going on The View, and I was like, because her and I are the only ones who watch The View, so I was like, well, I'm coming over. So I just went with her, watched her get her makeup done. We went to The View together.
How was The View?
So fun. And Meghan McCain was great.
She seems, I think she has a tough lot.
No
one has it harder, like as far as like, she has to take the side that she takes.
Here's the thing. We're constantly saying we need people to be more in the middle, especially Republicans, right? You cannot be so a staunch Republican. Mm-hmm. So now you finally have a Republican who's like, hi, I am, she goes on different issues you disagree on.
Sure.
Right? But she's very much for LGBTQ rights and she's very...
And she's there for the conversation.
If
you look online, they'll go, well, you and I, that's you, what you think and that's what I think and goodbye, fuck off.
Right.
And she's not necessarily doing that.
Right. And I think she's honorable and I've always liked Meghan McCain.
I watched it today. It was on the gym and Joy... She had sunglasses on.
Well, she had cataracts, so she got that's
why. I was like, how Hollywood is this
gotten? I'm such a faggot that I'm like, oh, well, Joy had cataracts, so she's been going on with sunglasses for the past 2 weeks. That's why.
When you're in this world, do you feel, I mean, you're as a comedian, are you...
Drag and comedy have a lot in common.
I would agree.
A lot in common. And you know, I'll tell you what, like, I hope this interests your listeners. But
I'm very interested.
But
if I'm interested, they're interested.
I like this.
J-Train podcast every Tuesday and Friday.
I feel
that's
like I'm getting
key, actually.
Work.
Spill it.
I feel like I'm getting my Terry Gross interview, but the J-Train version of it. You know what I mean?
Okay, what's Terry Gross?
Terry Gross is fresh air. She's been on NPR doing interviews for years. Girl,
this
we
ain't
gotta,
the NPR. What? You're on J-Train, not NPR. But I hear you.
But I would say that drag and comedy, it's so much. The only difference is the preparation time.
Oh,
but you know, drag queens are fucking not only because their open mics are basically you have to get ready for 2 hours, enter these competitions in the middle of Brooklyn or Manhattan, and then work your way up. But same thing. This is the best show. These are the bar shows. Those are the open mics. This is
and
the clubs.
The look is a part of it. Just as much, I would assume.
Depends. I mean, obviously, like, put like, look, there's different categories of queens and different subcategories of queens. Mm-hmm. Like, Bob does everything, but Bob is known as a comedy queen. He's a stand-up.
Ah.
So he has a stand-up special. He does an hour of proper stand-up.
Okay.
Jokes.
Sure.
Now, there's Trixie Mattel, who's also a comedy queen, but she also does stand-up and singing. Bob can sew. Bob can dance. Bianca Del Rio's a stand-up. Alyssa is a look queen, a dance queen. There's different types of queens.
I think I've said this to you, but the organization of the gay community is really unbelievable. I mean, because what you're saying right now is I knew there was, you know, the different, you know, body types of gay.
Right.
I'm, you know, bear and otter and twink and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But now not even are there categories of you know, the
body types and gay men. There's also categories of drag. Well, there's pageant
drags. You know, this is what I'm saying. Yeah. I never even knew you guys have organized this in the gayest way possible.
Yes. But I would
say enjoy that.
It's the same as comedy. There's alt comics. There's club comics.
Sure.
There's road comics.
Okay,
there's hip comics. There's, you know,
there's music comics, prop comics. Yeah.
You know, gay comics, quote unquote, urban comics. You know, they always use those.
Impersonators.
Yeah. There's all different types. So, like, if you talk about, like, a puppet comic, what the hell is his name? I did his gala last year for Montreal.
Jeff Dunham.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, he's technically a comic.
Yeah.
But he's not doing the same thing we're doing.
It's a different type of show.
Right. And you and I aren't even doing the same type of thing, even though we perform in the same places.
Sure. And that you go to the Cellar, you see a little taste of everybody.
Everything, yeah.
Especially, you know, the Cellar is a place you would hopefully get
everything.
Whatever you get, you know, a poo-poo platter.
Right.
But I just think, like, I think the straight male community could help be benefited from the organization
of the gays
I think it's a
can you imagine
though, it would never work. Can you imagine if men started referring to their types like I like a bear woman, and then it would be so offensive that it would never work?
Yeah, no woman wants to be like, hi, I'm a bear. But no. Men enjoy it. There's certain men, I personally don't like calling myself a certain body type, whatever. I guess I'd be an otter. Most people ask, and I say I'm just Italian.
That seems like the most horrifying thing. What am I? And then someone being like, oh, you're an ox.
Right.
Oh,
you're not a cub. You're an otter. Oh, you're not a bear. You're a cub. Girl, she's a twink. What? You can't be a twink and 40. You're an old hag.
Well, then it gets mean.
Yeah. Well, that's the best. Nothing's better than like a 60-year-old gay who's just like mad at a bar.
That's fun.
They don't even know who Shelley Winters is. Tell them to fuck off, because that's who I am.
They've seen it all.
Yeah, they have seen
They've seen it all. They've seen, like, the passage of, you know, before we started talking, like, just older gays looking at the community seeing, look how good it's gotten.
Right.
You know, even though there's things to, you know, there's still...
There's much to do, but also there's much that young people haven't seen.
Yeah.
I mean, even in my generation, I was, you know, when I came out of the closet... No YouTube, no nothing. I mean, no Instagram, nothing.
How would you know? You'd have to know another gay person.
You'd have to sneak. I got my friend Dave's fake ID, and you would just go, because in Chicago, I knew where Boys Town was. Like, that's the gay area. So I would just sneak into bars.
You must have heard of Boys Town, and it was like, you know, it's the Wizard of Oz.
Yeah, this is it.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, this is me sneaking into a bar, you know, just,
yeah,
with that music, pretending I'm 21.
You have sunglasses on. You're Joy Behar.
I was Joy Behar. What's going on? But, you know, that's the first time I saw a drag queen, I was scared. I never saw a drag queen before. I didn't know how to be around a drag queen. I didn't know what a drag queen was because I had nothing to show me what a drag queen was. But now 6-year-olds are doing makeup tutorials. I'm like, it's just it's changed.
Yeah.
Even within 15 years, it's completely different.
Now, when you hang out with go to the drag queen shows, have you been tempted? Do you say to yourself, well...
To do drag?
Yeah.
Oh, no, not at all.
I don't know.
First of all, I play dress up at Bob's house. Like, he'll have heels and... I mean, his house looks ridiculous. It's exactly what you think a drag queen's house is.
the dollhouse.
But he's 6'3". So his drag queen shoes are like if a clown put on wedges, you know? And I'm trying to put
these on and walk
in them. I look like a kid in my mom's heels. I used to do that. But no, I have no interest in putting on women's clothing. I just don't know.
Like I would think like if someone's like, no, you're good at this.
I mean, certain people, like my friend Patty, who's in my crew, he does drag on and off, and he's just, when he puts on makeup, he's so good dancing and flipping and this, and you know, I can't imagine
how bad it must feel to bomb
as a drag queen.
That's gonna be
worse. Happens all the time.
I would assume.
Yeah,
but that's gotta be a much tougher bomb.
There's also a difference between drag audiences and comedy audiences. Comedy audiences are usually quiet listening for jokes.
Sure.
Drag audiences are usually, they're screaming at 100 drunk gay men.
Every once in
a while, we'll pay attention, and then we'll go back to our conversation.
You really have to fight for that limelight.
Oh, it's a fight. And drag queens are dancing and flipping. And I went to a drag show the other day at Barracuda and Tina Burner's show. And the first half of it was like, it's good. It's a great show. Everyone's lip syncing. But then the second half, they start doing all the old stuff like Janet and Sister Act 2. Mm-hmm. The entire room is standing on their feet, singing along, screaming. It was the best night of my life.
That's
the best night of my life.
When it's good, it's great.
Drag queens are... I was talking to Bob. I was like, I think drag is so successful. Real drag shows, when you go to them, it's just... Gay guys, we don't grow up. All the shit we did with the doors closed, we didn't want our moms to see, we can now do it in front of other gay men.
That's
and we can
fun.
All kind of celebrate it.
Have you ever seen a bad drag?
Literally
act?
More than good drag.
So what's a bad...
Because all my friends...
I don't want you to talk badly about anyone, but I'm saying, like, we've seen bad stand-up.
I would say because of all the open mics I went to, just by default, I've seen more bad comedy than good comedy,
absolutely.
Right?
Yes, absolutely. Same here.
But no, I've seen the best drag shows you could possibly... Coco Peru, Lady Bunny, Bob the Drag Queen, Monet Exchange. But then, look, you know, I have some friends who are trying to come up and drag it, so you go to a lot of competition shows, and... There's a lot of inexperienced drag queens out there. And it's rough.
It's got
to
be rough.
But you know what? They're learning. And usually they have judges at these shows.
Better.
And the judges are like, I didn't like this. They just kind of
Oh, my God.
Because also, here's the thing. There's nothing harder, not just bombing in drag, but bombing in front of all gay men who are the most judgmental people.
It's tough. I mean, I used to do the open mic at the Duplex every Wednesday. And when there was a crowd, it was gay men that would come.
Yeah.
And yeah, you'd feel that bomb.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't, you'd want to scurry out under the cover of night.
Gay men, and I say this with pride, are tough audiences, and I'll tell you why.
Okay.
Because gay men, and Fran Lebowitz talks about this in her documentary, Public Speaking, about how audiences are just as important as the performer. In other words, the performer can only be good if the audience is making sure they're on their toes.
Interesting.
You see what I'm saying?
Yes,
I do. It's like she was making an example like some ballerina in the 1970s. If she moved her foot like this instead of that, she might as well be dead, right? So it's like the audience, those audiences are really important to have a high, you know.
You don't want them to be tasteless.
Right.
They
have great taste.
And we feel that with stand-up. You know, when, you know, sometimes you'll go get off stage and be like, that audience would have laughed if I had a setup. It doesn't matter what. If it was said in the right, if I said the sentence, da-da-da-da, da-da-da-da,
right,
they'd laugh.
Right.
And then there's someone that you say, da-da-da-da-da-da, and then they go, no.
Right.
And then the next one, they go, oh, fucking hilarious. And that's what you want, like,
isn't
open
it,
to both.
Don't you find it bizarre? And I don't know, like, if most comics experience this, but, like, how everyone in the room just subconsciously gets on the same wavelength. They've never spoken to each other, but in that
it's
moment.
The fun of stand-up. That's
right.
When it's going good. I mean, good, it's great. Again, this is like, you know, for all those people out there, this isn't a specific, you know, this isn't a comedy stand-up podcast,
right,
but I encourage people to come to the shows, and I know a lot of people that come to my shows, they've never been to a comedy club before. Right. They're like, this is a first for me. I'm going to see someone that I connect with on a podcast. And then they get there, and it's really the best feeling in the world for me.
Right.
When they're like, wow, this was different. I didn't know what to expect, but this was fun.
You might be the closest comic to the Backstreet Boys I've ever seen.
It is quite a crew that comes out.
Because when I go to your show, like tonight I'm doing the Village Underground, right?
Yes, I was there last week. Right. And we both, it's a part of the cellar, yeah.
It's going to be a 180, right? Mm-hmm. Like yours was 200 women.
Yes.
White women. One or two men, they're like, how did I get here? Yeah, you know what I mean? Like confused.
Yeah.
Tonight it's going to be 200 gay men.
And it's going to be fantastic because Mateo is hilarious. He's an OKP with this show. Original key player.
Oh, work.
So you've been, one of my favorite guests, and all of you need to go follow him at Mateo Lane. You need to go do it now. First of all,
my Instagram is mainly me naked and my drawings of like Disney and comic book characters.
I mean, is it a raconteur? What is the name for someone that does everything well?
A faggot.
Not my word. An amazing artist, but also I can just tell if you listen to this show, you're going to love a Mateo Lane show. He's going to be at Joe's Pub.
Okay? Oh, yes. So I sing.
Joe's Pub, June 25th. And
it's almost sold out, so you should get tickets.
Get tickets soon. Now. MateoLaneComedy.com.
And I'm not just saying that like it's not. No, it's literally like get tickets.
And you're going to have. I'm giving you the J train. Hit that seal of approval. That's it. I'm telling you right now. MateoLaneComedy.com. Joe's Pub, June 25th. He's got his own podcast called Inside the Closet. He does with Emma Willman, who's a favorite of the show as well. It comes out every Thursday.
She's a lesbian.
Go follow Mateo. Get involved. We're going to get into the emails. Mateo's great at answering these emails. Are you ready?
I'm so ready.
We have so many good ones. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. And if you're listening right now and you're living in the Nashville area, I'm going to be at Nashville Zanies tonight, Tuesday, and tomorrow, Wednesday. That is the 18th and 19th. I'm at Zanies Nashville. Come, bring a crew. Just like we said, it's a fun experience to get on the same wavelength. Everyone in the room is there laughing at the same shit. I'm going to be talking about everything but the bagel seasoning. We're going to have a lot of fun. Okay?
Jared is a very, 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 very fun. Your shows are fun. I mean, literally, that's how you describe them.
Well, that's it. You know, I do think they're, you know, we're talking about the different forms of comedy. Now There's this like other form that's erupted of like learning, let's be angry comedy. And it's like, that is not what I want to do at all.
Well, because we're angry enough during the day.
Yeah.
Am I allowed to have 1 hour to just kind of
five
enjoy?
Fucking minutes?
I know.
To laugh at a fart?
No, you have to be angry all the time.
All the time.
Be angry or you're doing nothing.
Like, yeah.
God.
Get in line and help out. You know,
I thought I was helping.
Yeah, I don't know. So come on out, Nashville. I'm also coming to Seattle and San Francisco, baby. Seattle and San Francisco. Seattle, June 28th and 29th. San Francisco, July 5th and 6th. Come. Bring a friend. Tag a bitch. We are sponsored today, people. Love this sponsor. Mateo is a very healthy individual. We care about our health. This is a great product, Care of. I love Care of. Make your health a top priority with Care of's monthly vitamin subscription service. What I like about Care of is you go through, you say, you know, Mateo and I, we have different needs and things that we want out of our vitamins. You might want, you know, fish oil. I might want, you know, to, you know, lose weight. You know, all these things. Your needs are different than my needs. Why would you take a vitamin that isn't catered to you? So you go on Care of's website. You can go and take the whole quiz and tell them what you're looking for, what you want. And then it takes 5 minutes. And then they're going to send you a 30-day supply of daily packs. That's another important thing that Care of does. You're not fumbling around with big bottles of a million different vitamins.
I can see the black and white infomercial of the woman it all falling in the sink.
How could it get worse?
Don't we open all the bottles at the same time?
I don't even know how to open the bottles. What are you, in these kid locks? That's right. That's you with the bottles. You got 1,000 vitamins and you don't know how to open them because you're not as smart as a child. So listen. Take Care Of is going to have your name on the package. It's going to be individual packs. If you're a traveler like we are, Delta people.
Delta.
You said that you don't like to fly commercial because you don't want to get into a tube with a bunch of demons.
I love this. This is my favorite.
Yeah. What is
pastor,
that from?
If she was interviewed, I think she was on Dateline or something, and she was interviewing this pastor who said, like, apparently he's taking millions of dollars and flying private.
Yes,
right?
Yes,
and then
yes.
He
these
was
pastors
like,
are modern day snake oil salesman. It's
right.
Perfect. And they all fly private. And then he says,
right.
That's what he said. He didn't
want
to.
She was
get
a great interviewer. She let him have it.
What was it on?
I think it was Dateline.
One of those insides.
Inside, that, yeah.
That's
edition.
How delusional these pastors are. They're like, yeah, I'll go do the interview.
But you
I'm
know,
the smartest guy in the room.
You right. know, it's not delusional.
Well, he took the entire.
What's not delusional is Take Is Care Of.
He
okay.
Took, he made. Oh, yes.
Hold on. But Care Of, you get a daily pack. And listen, go play with the website. Go play with it. TakeCareOf.com. TakeCareOf.com. T-A-K-E careof.com. TakeCareOf.com. The packs are great. They make it easy to remember. And I love taking them because here's my personal thing. When you start your day taking the vitamins, you're going to end your day eating right, having lean meat for dinner. Okay? You ain't going to be sitting there in French Fryville because you're going to say to yourself, ah, I took the vitamins. I'm on track. So listen, take care of yourself. Get honest guidance that's personalized to you. Take advantage of this month's special for 25% off your first month. That's free money, baby. Free money. 25% off your first month. Go to takecareof.com. Enter promo code JTRAIN. That's right. To get 25%, that's a quarter. Take yourself a quarter, put it back in your pocket because you're getting that free money. Off your first month of personalized vitamins, go to takecareof.com. Use promo code JTRAIN, and take care of yourself. Okay, let's do some emails. You ready, Mateo?
Whee!
At Mateo Lane.
Two T's
at Mateo Lane on Instagram, Joe's Pub, June 25th. This one just came in.
Okay, I'm excited.
Is she just a friend or is my boyfriend emotional cheating?
Oh, my God. Okay. I'll tell you, I have answers.
Okay, ready?
What's funny is I don't even need to read the Torah that you just pulled up. This woman wrote,
my boyfriend and I have been dating since last summer. Okay, so now we're about a year in. Okay,
a year in. This needs to go straight to a therapist. Go
we
on.
Graduated college in May. Okay, met through mutual friends that went to school with him. We were doing long distance for a while as I was home working and he was at school finishing his master's about 3 hours away. We made it work, and now that we're closer, we can hang out much more, and things have been going great between us. We are mentally and physically very compatible. Anyways, the other day I went to text our mutual friend from his phone as mine was dead while we were out. I stumbled upon a girl's name who I had seen on social media prior as they went to the same school, and from a girl's intuition I didn't necessarily like. I clicked into the message, which I do regret to see texts once a week or so catching up, asking if she's okay, some phone calls, meetups a few months prior. Boy, she really looked.
Yeah, I was like, there's no stumbling.
Yeah, no, you stumbled and then made a camp and a campfire and fucking put up a tent. While we've been dating. I immediately confronted him about it and asked who she was, etc. Apparently, she's been someone he had feelings for throughout college, but she never had feelings for him, had a boyfriend most of college. Mm-hmm. We talked it out, and he assured me that he would never leave me for her. He can't assure you that. And that he's always been kind of emotional support for her as a friend. I felt fine after our conversation, but then once he was gone, all the possibilities kept running through my head.
Of course.
Leading to my question is, why is he still talking to her in constant contact with her? And if there is still emotions there, I feel that he is not giving me and our relationship is all. I fully trust him and believe nothing physical would ever happen, and to add, nothing has ever in the past. But that's not to say that
potential emotional cheating doesn't hurt just as much. Do I bring it up again and bring up my concern?
It doesn't hurt just as much, especially when you get gonorrhea.
Well, that hurts more. I'm not going to ask him to stop talking to her. I just don't understand why he still is. And I think resurfacing the conversation would be for me to have reassurance. I genuinely don't care about his past girlfriends, hookups, so on, but emotions were once involved and maybe still involved, I get in my head. I try to tell myself that he's with me and not her, and he wouldn't be with me if he didn't want to be. Just needed some J-Train insight into the mind of a guy. He's still talking to her, and he'd feel if I brought it up, how he'd feel if I brought it up again. Thanks for all the insight. What do you think?
This is a classic. This is someone allowing outside things to fill a narrative in their head. In other words, that this is based in no reality. So, yes, she
no reality, even though
she stumbled upon a look. He hasn't cheated yet.
No,
she has to give him the benefit of the doubt.
I'm actually with him not cheating yet because this other girl won't fuck him.
Right. But also, he just plain and simple hasn't cheated yet.
Yeah.
Now, she had a conversation with him and he was honest with her, which that's rare. I mean, he said, I had feelings for her. Now I'm her emotional support friend.
That's a good point because how honest he was and not defensive kind of informed both of us that he wasn't fucking her. Or,
right.
You know, there's no.
If he was fucking her, he would say, why'd you go into this and why'd you do that?
Yeah,
blah, blah, blah.
Yeah,
I mean, it doesn't even sound like that was a conversation that was happening. Mm. So I am also a jealous person. Now, if I was in this situation and my boyfriend was chatting it up with some other guy that I knew he had feelings for in the past, I would have a problem with it, but I would also not allow it to dictate the rest of the relationship. In other words, now she's starting to plant seeds of suspicion in her head, so no matter what he does, it's going to kind of fit that narrative that she's already putting into place. I think it's more of a conversation about having open communication with him about not just about her insecurities, but also about the relationship, where they're going, and what that looks like. Because
Also, their relationship is, you know, she said they've been dating since last summer, but it's really brand new. May
long distance.
It was long distance. Now they're close to each other since he graduated in May. So you've really been together a month, if you think of it in those. Because that, you know, he's used to a very different thing, a very different situation.
Right.
He's used to you're 3 hours away, so there's time. There's more time than ever when you're 3 hours away that he can text with this other girl that he's an emotional crutch for.
Right.
So, like, that is all available. You know, when you have idle hands type of thing. So,
right.
When you have the time to do something, you're going to do it. So, if this girl keeps texting him and he's at school and you're away at 3 hours away and you're not really there to be his girlfriend and he doesn't have to worry about you seeing it, he can go, yeah, I'll text with this girl who I used to like.
Now, to play the other side, so for him, if I were him and I was really invested in this relationship with her, and I knew that my conversations with this other girl I once had feelings for were upsetting her, I would also have that conversation with this other girl and say, look, we need to set up boundaries because now I'm moving into something really serious with this girl, and that will not just affect her, but it will affect my relationship with her. So between us, I have to start setting up boundaries with you.
She's sending the email kind of too early for us to tell.
Mm-hmm.
Because now so he moves back in May. So the timeline is they've had a month really to be together. Let's call it a month.
To experience a real relationship.
What the interact. And she's saying it's going great, but then she stumbled into this text.
It's literally that scene in Mission Impossible. She came down from the ceiling with strings, grabbed his text, unlocked a code, glued his fingerprints on hers, used it to open the phone.
Yeah. And now I've just read 7 months of texts.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, he was texting this person while you guys were texting, but your relationship now is the time to see, will it subside? What Mateo's saying is right. He has to now. I noticed this with all girls that I'm friends with that got married. We just don't talk as much.
Right.
You know, their lives.
Same happens with gay men. These women we become best friends with, promise us the world. The second they get married, you can literally hear a ship just sailing off.
And women kind of do this, and men die. Everyone does this when they get into something. It's like, okay, I'm figuring out this relationship if I'm really giving it time and effort.
Mm-hmm.
So I think right now is like the beginning for her.
Mm-hmm.
you could bring it up again. Hey, I'm still thinking about it, but I would hope that you're, this isn't someone that you're really on the day to day with. I mean, of course, if she reaches out, but I would hope that this relationship is enough for you emotionally, physically, all that stuff. And I don't think bringing it up every day, the problem becomes how confident is she?
Not very.
Well,
and also
social media, she goes, I already noticed this girl.
Right.
Is every time she's going to come up, you're going to start a fight? Is every time she texts?
The answer is yes, by the way.
But is that right?
No.
It's not right.
And here's what I would say to her. If he's not willing to set up any kind of boundaries with this other girl, then whoever we're talking to has to make a decision whether she's going to be okay with that or not.
Yeah.
If she's not okay, rather than fighting, walk away.
Time to leave. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com, JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. Here with Mateo Lane, @MateoLane on Instagram. Go follow. Hilarious. A mom needing the master of mom's advice.
Oh, God.
I'm all the right. master of moms. I'm
How
mom.
Are you the master of moms?
I crush it with a mom.
All right.
Okay. Hey, Jared, Shelby, and presumed great guest. I'm writing in about mother-in-law advice. Where my mother-in-law is also a grandmother to my three-month-old baby. My husband, 33, and I, 28, had some beef last year with his mother. Basically, a bunch of mini passive-aggressive interactions that culminated in him and her in a screaming match via phone 2 weeks after my daughter was born. She knows she is here and has yet to ask her name, if she's healthy, or contacted us at all after the fight.
Fuck.
She has never even met her, and I know my husband is low-key sad about all of this as am I. My question is, what the fuck do we do, and where do we go from here? It's been almost 3 months since their argument, and still not a peep from the mother-in-law. It hurts that she is so petty. She isn't trying to be involved in our daughter's life at all. Any advice would be appreciated. If it provides more context, my husband and her have had a contentious but cordial relationship in the past, and he is her only child.
Answers everything.
I also am from Connecticut and have no family here, so her lack of support is that much more difficult. P.S. Shelby, celeb lookalike. I already know my husband is the Cuban Jason Statham. Okay.
I don't know what that means.
Please, I'm a Patreon supporter. Well, thank you for joining Patreon. She wants her celebrity lookalike. Shelby is a fantastic celebrity lookalike person.
Oh, I got you.
So she sent a picture. She said her husband is Cuban Jason Statham, which I'll give it to him. That's what she said. Yeah.
That's what she thinks?
That's
interesting.
Well,
that's
just turned into one
stretch.
Of those drag shows.
Yeah.
But listen, that's what she sees.
She
I'm
looks
happy
like
for her. The baby is beautiful. She sent a picture.
She looks like a member of the U.S. women's soccer team.
She does.
Just any of them in
just
general.
Just any general. That is the most
he
hilarious.
Looks like a me on Nintendo Wii that you didn't finish. Now, this is the thing that I would say.
They're a gorgeous couple. She's
yeah,
very
teasing.
Pretty. And she does look like she'd play for no, a women's national team.
They're actually yeah. a very cute looking couple.
The
and
baby.
I like,
she sent a picture of
oh,
the baby.
Oh, she's so pretty.
She's very pretty. But the baby's cute. What do you think?
This whole thing. They didn't give us enough context.
I wish I would know what the fight was about.
Right. But here's what I'm going to guess what it is about. Because she gave us a little bit by telling us that he's an only child.
Only child.
The mother wants to be the only. There's certain types of moms out there
yeah.
that are selfish moms.
Sure.
And they have kids, so that kid praises that mother. That uh-huh. the mother's the star of the show. The mother's a lot of guilt.
Interesting.
So what happens is he falls in love with her, and they have a child. Suddenly, his attention from her, not as only... And once you fall in love with the girl, boom, 50% of your attention is out of the mom. Then you have a kid, it's another 25%. So now he's only given, let's say, 25% of his
yeah,
attention to
his
mom.
Yeah, he has two new women in his life.
Right. So she can't handle it, and so she's creating storms and drama so that she can get any kind of reaction. You know when kids behave badly or well because they just want attention?
Yeah, yeah,
this
yeah.
is the mother.
This is the mother doing that.
So,
she wants attention.
Right. So what I would say is, unfortunately, you know, it sucks that the mom and her son are having a bad relationship.
Yeah.
You now have your own family.
Yeah.
So you have your own family to worry about. You have to raise your child. As the mother, sorry, but if that's the kind of energy you're bringing to our family, then you're not welcome.
I agree with you to a certain extent. I agree. This is your family, But y'all, you have to take care of yours. The mother, she's having a temper tantrum. She's had it for the past 3 months. Hasn't asked about the baby. Hasn't asked if it's healthy.
Because the baby has nothing to do with her.
I know. But also, let me just stop this emailer who I appreciate. She's a Patreon member, so obviously, patreon.com/JaredFried. We're doing things on there. Coffee with J Train. I met the Wu-Tang this weekend. If you want to hear it.
You met the Wu-Tang?
They invited me to their show. They're invited guest, patreon.com/JaredFried. She needs to stop doing the mom thing. And women out there, you do this all the time. She wrote in the email. You don't need to get me on your side. This is what a lot of moms do. She starts by saying the mother-in-law is also the grandmother. My husband got in a beef last year, and basically they got into a fighting match, 2 weeks before the daughter was born. Then they get into a fight. They haven't spoken. And then she knows she is here and has yet to ask her name. If she's healthy, or contact us at all. Like, this is what moms do. They go, as a mother.
Right, yeah. You know,
she's going to, you didn't have to up the ante of how mad, how mean it is right. That she hasn't asked about the baby.
All I have to say is.
She hasn't even asked if she's healthy. The mom's sitting at home and would have no idea if your baby was,
I'm angry at you, but is the child healthy?
Yeah. Like,
this is not.
You don't need, and a lot of people do this when they have kids, is they use the kid as the shield for you can never disagree with me.
Right.
She's doing that even though I don't disagree with her. I don't.
No, we
I'm
agree
on her
with
side,
her,
but you
but
don't
also,
have to. She hasn't even asked if the baby's healthy.
Right.
And it's like, okay.
Let's calm down.
Okay, let's all, that's the thing. Let's all calm down. You, because I love that so much. Because yeah. She even had to do it to me, guy. Right. She doesn't know, guy who she's asking for advice that doesn't even. I don't care if she likes my advice.
You don't have babies, so I'm going to let you know right now. The health of the child is one of the most important questions to ask. If you shut up,
we get it. Here's what I'm going to say. Put it aside. Mm-hmm. It's the grandma. Mm-hmm. Here's what you do. My advice when someone acts shitty is to make them feel shitty for acting shitty. So one time I opened for Michelle, and there was some girl in the crowd. Sometimes at Michelle Wolf's show, there's certain people there that, like, you can feel they're a little disappointed that a white dude is the opener.
Right.
Like, straight white dude, that's the enemy. That's who we came to rally against.
Right.
I'm not saying it's all of them. There's like a couple people. You just feel it. Just like you said, there's a vibe to a crowd. There was one girl that just wouldn't make eye contact with me. Like, I would look down and she was just staring angrily at the stage. I don't know what I said or what I did to make her mad. And I look at her and I go, are you okay? And I'm smiling as I say, I go, are you okay?
Right.
What's happening? Why are you looking over there?
Yeah.
And by the end of it, it's like, tickle, tickle, tickle. You're being ridiculous. Yep. And I think that's the advice I'm getting. She's always going to be your daughter's grandmother. She's always going to be your husband's mom. Yeah, she sucks. She's a piece of shit, okay? We can all admit that in close quarters. But there are some times where you just gotta go, you gotta bite the bullet and do things you don't wanna do. Hey, we're coming over with the baby. I know you go with that, whatever's going on with my husband and you, I get it and it sucks and I'm upset about it. But I talked to him because what you're gonna end up doing is making it easier for him to talk to his mom.
Do you think, now to play devil's advocate, do you think it's that this woman's responsibility? She just had a child and she's trying to get her family started. She's, in theory, not causing any of this drama. Why is it her responsibility to be the bigger person? Shouldn't the grandma
here's
be?
You know why it's her responsibility? Because she has a child who should know her grandmother. Mm-hmm. It's her responsibility to bring up her child right. And a life with your grandmother is better than without your grandmother, knowing that she's out there not talking to you. She's a baby. The baby has nothing to do with this fight.
I definitely don't think that this fight is going to go on forever because I'm sure the grandma wants to see their granddaughter.
But the minute you go and you go, Nana, stop it. You kind of like smile at her. Nana, you text her. Nana, stop it. The baby needs to meet you.
Right. Well, you give her that one chance, and then if she doesn't take it, then move
but
on.
But that's kind of my point of, like, you make someone feel, you will be so happy and and so of course about it that they can't not be of course. She would really, and whatever the fight is about, because you're coming from right field, it's not from the son who she has all this shit with. The son and her, we're going to figure it out, but I think you're going to find that if you reach out, you do the, you know, the olive branch, and you say, hey, Nana, and that's the name we're giving you.
Yeah.
The baby needs to meet you. It's been too long, and you're going to love her, and when can we come over, and when can I show you the baby?
What were your grandparents like?
Love my grandparents. Very close.
Because I come from a family where my mother's side and my dad's side is literally opposite ends of... I don't know what a normal...
My grandparent on my mom's side, they all lived in Detroit, so
you didn't see him a lot.
But when I did, like, I was the oldest grandchild for my grandfather, so like I think that always hit with him. Mm-hmm. And I was, you know, close with them my whole, you know, talked all the time. But then my dad's mom and my mom were very close, and that's kind of a weird relationship. You don't really find that very often. So that's why I'm kind of like taking, and my dad's mom, pain in the ass, like really legitimately, like in a fun way, like, right. Like known as like.
How many days a week would you see them?
I could talk to my, I used to see my, all the time. Yeah. Like my dad, like we grew up the town next door. Like we go for meals at my grandparents' house. But my grandmother, my dad's mom was like very much a part of everything, you know, vacations together and all that stuff. But I know a lot of times my grandmother was hard to deal with. And this is kind of what my mom would kind of do with her, where it's like, stop it. We're coming over. You need to see this baby.
Right.
And I think, you know, fights in families, they happen, but, you know, there's a moment where you have to go.
And it's more ego.
It's all ego. It's all emotion. It's all, whatever their fight is, isn't that big a deal.
Right.
It's going to get, in the course of time. What she's going to be upset about is that she spent 3 months missing out. And the thing is, if you feel weird about texting her, she feels weird about texting you.
Right.
So that, you're the mom on the other side, she feels weird too.
Right. I like your answer. I think you're right. I think
someone has to budge.
Right.
And for this girl where there's not as much emotion for her, she feels bad for her husband, but she's more upset. How could you never
see? But also, the longer that you don't talk to them, you're going to make this worse and worse. So like you said, if you can kind of just walk in and defuse it immediately by saying, we're bringing the baby, we're coming over, we're saying hi.
Yeah.
It might really defuse a lot of the problem.
A lot of the tension, because the more it builds up, the more you're like, well, they don't want to see me.
Right.
And it's like, she's probably doing that. And older people, you have to give them the benefit. You know, like, you know, we live in this time of like, my grandparent all racist. And it's like, yeah, but they're your grandparent. Talk to them. You know, they may say, you can subtly disagree. You can be classy. You know, there's easy ways to have difficult conversations.
Right.
JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. On a similar subject, this next email, only girls who give blowjobs get married?
Wait, say that again.
Only
girls who give
It's in the form of a question.
Get married?
Get married, is what she's saying. Hi, Jared. I've been listening to you up since the early days and have been binging back through the J Train archives. I've managed to convince a couple of friends to come with me to the U Up Live show in Chicago, and I'm so excited.
That's where I'm from, Chicago.
So listen, people. We made the announcement last week. The U Up Live show's tickets are out. These are events. We talked about stand-up. We talked about drag. These U Up Live shows are so much fun. They're for everyone. I know she said she convinced a couple of friends. These are events to bring friends to, because as I say all the time on this show, I'm more worried about your friends than I am you. You're going to have a good time.
Right.
The friend, I'm creating a show. We've done the J Train podcast live, and now it's now the U Up podcast live. Dating app makeovers. We're doing...
You are such a gay man.
Listen, I got to be a little gay to be straight.
Also, I love sometimes you get a little Jiminy Glick.
I'll Glick it up.
Because then you're like, and then we're going to get the tickets. And then we're going to go to the show.
Well, listen, we're doing text. We're translating your text. We're taking audience questions. They are fun.
And I did it once live with you at Village Underground. It was so much fun.
Such a blast.
It was so much
great.
Fun.
You can go listen to the... And that's the thing. We put out our live episodes.
Yeah, Emma and I do too.
Because
it's so fun.
Because that's the thing. As stand-ups, we understand the importance and the... I think when stand-ups do live podcasts, a lot of us, you know, people, they stop doing them because they're afraid. Well, it doesn't feel as good as stand-up. I don't know if they're getting the cost
it's
of admission.
It's different things. It's
just totally different thing.
Yeah.
But we put it out there because we have pride in it and we want you to see it. So Go listen to the U Up Live that Mateo did. It's going to be great. Chicago, Toronto, Cleveland, Detroit. That's our first run. Get those tickets now. They're going very, very quickly.
Chicago.
I love Chicago. A bit of background. I'm a 27-year-old lady listener living in Chicago. I've been dating this great guy for the last 3 years.
Ooh.
He's 35. So 35, 27, we see each other often as we work together, but we live about 45-plus minutes away from each other. We both enjoy living on our own, but have broached the subject of moving in together. But since I don't want to give up my city life for the suburbs that he prefers so readily, I'd like to really lock things down with him first, a.k.a. get engaged.
I think that she should not move into the suburbs. If she enjoys her life in the city, she should stay there. If she moves into the suburbs, she will be miserable and put all that hate on him.
Because then the suburbs are always there. That's the other thing.
Unfortunately.
You can't, you know, old city people exist, but it's not as, you know, it's not necessarily an option for everybody.
Right.
The problem I have is that he doesn't seem to be in much of a hurry to take that step. I'm afraid to bring it up.
Let me just say this. Women, men are never in a hurry.
No.
Okay?
No.
I'm just putting that out there right now. We are not in a hurry.
There's no clock.
Women
are always
in a hurry.
There's no societal clock. We are really on a lazy river to love.
Yeah, I'm not in a rush.
I'm afraid to bring it up due to the fact that I feel like I'm not checking all his boxes. Early on in our relationship, he nearly ghosted me because I was holding off on sex, waiting for a stronger indication of his feelings towards me.
Straight people are so different.
We worked out our issues and have a sex life that does its best to satisfy him, but also accommodate my low-ish sex drive and long evening commute street parking.
Oh, this that is was a completely unnecessary.
Well, that's like, yeah, I know.
The
both of us kind
parking?
Of. If you're saying you don't want to have sex because of street parking,
don't like having sex with him.
Or sex in general. She
no.
says she has a lot. Okay.
You don't like having sex with
the
him.
The last thing in the way in my mind is that I have a very strong aversion to blowjobs. Like, really hate them. Just thinking about me makes a spiral into some bad feeling. Sometimes
I might put the whole dick and the balls in my mouth. What's up?
Cardi.
Cardi.
How small of a dick are you?
Oh, my
sucking.
God. Fucking a full kid's meal. a while back, we were heading down the road to sexy time when he dropped the "Will you go down on me" out of the blue. It caught me off guard. Everything went downhill from there. He tried to guilt trip me and throw a "but I go down on you" at me. Which I hate because I've always been wary of guys going down on me, but I think it's just a setup for a blowjob. Also, I never asked Amanda that he do that. Well, the way she's connected, if she doesn't trust that going down on her is good for him. Did you hear that sentence?
Yeah.
There's a lot of problems here.
There's
trust issues.
I'm holding back a lot of anger.
Well, she's very nice to write in, and I think this is a problem some people have.
and I'm not angry at her, but I'm
situation.
Angry at communication. Yes.
Yes. I've tried watch. Okay, so, but I go down. Also, I've never asked a man that he'd do that. I panic, flashing back to when he almost left me over sex and promised to. See, this is the thing. Sex is so connected with whether she'll be with someone. She connects sex so closely to the
relate
everything.
To everything.
That it's making everything else not trust it.
Right.
Because I'm reading her words. So a lot of this, to me, I'm like, there's a lot of stuff here that I'm hearing that I'm like, that's murky waters.
Yes.
But it hasn't brought up since. I've tried watching porn that portrayed blowjobs semi-positively, and I've also tried fantasizing about going down on him. Nothing has enticed me much. I've tried getting a bit drunk, high, in hopes of lowering my inhibitions, but we usually just end up going straight to regular sex, which is great, but I ultimately never accomplish my goal. I don't remember any traumas regarding blowjobs happening to me, although Law & Order SVU has taught me that anything is possible, LOL. So I think my fear of blowjobs is their overall negative portrayal in media culture and in porn. This is interesting. I tend to like consensual non-consent.
What?
Which might also contribute to the issue. Shelby, you usually know about that. What does that mean?
What does that mean?
Consensual non-consent, which might attribute to the issue. But like, I'm starting to think that if this is ever going to happen, he may have to literally push me into doing it. I don't know that will make me resent him or not, but at this point, none of my own attempts to remedy my views as hell.
Who likes
this? Hold on
a
second. Wait a minute.
Who likes this?
This is the woman.
I tend to like...
Can you look up consensual non-consent?
Does that mean like rape fantasies?
I mean, I've heard people say they like, hey, like if you really want to talk about like a fantasy I have, it's this. And I'm like, I don't know if I'm going to go that far.
Well, I'm not trying to be rude. It's not okay. Maybe rape is the wrong word, but there are people who are into those types of fantasies.
Yeah, I mean,
is that what she's referring
to? So she writes, but I'm starting to think that which might also contribute to the issue.
This feels more like one of those math problems. If the train is leaving at 30 really minutes does. And comes back by 15 minutes, but you are
she added in this whole 6%, curveball.
You know, it's like
it says it's. Pretty much what you said, a style of BDSM play in which everyone involved agrees to behave in a manner that mimics non-consensual behavior.
All right.
I got you.
Right.
But that's weird because she says, so I think my fear of blowjobs is the overall negative portrayal in media culture and porn. And then she says, I tend to like consensual non-consent. So she likes that type of thing, even though it's what's steering away from blowjobs.
I'm not dating her, and I'm already ready to break up with her.
Yeah, very confusing.
This is it. If you don't want to give blowjobs, say it from day one and move on.
That's
you don't have to like giving blowjobs, and you don't have to give blowjobs.
Okay,
now,
yeah.
There are certain things that, you're with a partner, they like something, you may not be into it, but you do because you enjoy that partner.
Sure.
You're consenting because you love that person. If she still can't even go there, where she doesn't, at zero, does not want to do blowjobs, don't. You are allowed.
Yeah.
You don't have to do anything you don't want to do. But don't send your... Disregard him for a minute. Don't send yourself down this whimsical, confusing, mathematical problem that you've gone through. I tried drinking. I tried smoking. Is it the media?
Yeah, no,
is it this?
No, no, no.
I can't watch porn, but I like non-consensual consent. Girl, you are a mess.
I think she needs... obviously, we're not professionals at all.
I am.
Okay. We got one professional.
When it comes to blowjobs.
But I'm saying her relationship with sex, minus him, seems very problematic. It seems like, because for her to say, I don't like how blowjobs are portrayed, but I like non-consensual consent. What are you talking about?
I've seen blowjobs portrayed every which way.
Yes.
That sentence she said to me doesn't actually make sense.
It doesn't make sense at all. So I think she's confused about how she relates to sex. It seems like she needs to sit with a candle lit and like go and light a candle, go through porn without judgment and fucking, you know, have a few moments with yourself to figure out what do you like?
I think what you should do is forget this entire email.
Yeah.
Sit down with your boyfriend and say, look, I want to be as open and honest with you as possible.
Yeah.
I have some issues with sex. I love having sex with you. For whatever reason, I don't know. I don't like giving blowjobs. Mm-hmm. If this is something you really want and it's a fear that I have, but I'm willing to do that for you, let's go see a sex therapist.
Yeah.
And allow a professional
That's
to...
That's right. That's a good piece of
advice.
Because
I have my hang-ups about sex.
Sure.
Everyone has a hang-up about sex.
I've been saying this on stage like a lot lately where it's like we all have our sex and then there's porn and all of us want something in between.
Right.
You know, we don't want what we do, but we don't want what they're doing, but we want something a little bit weirder than what we're doing.
Yes.
You know, and it's very tough and you're supposed to get on the same page with your boyfriend and girlfriend. And
sometimes it's okay to not always be on the same page as long as you're on the same, as long as there's an exchange of consent and love for one another.
Absolutely.
You can start to explore and you can make that fun. Look, if this is not something she wants to do, see a professional. This email is so confusing. I don't know what she's asking. I don't know what she wants or what she's asking.
And she also started this with, I'm not moving to the suburbs, but I want to get engaged. And it's like, now that's three
that's
other
the whole
things.
Thing.
It's
I want this, but I don't want that. I want this, but I don't want that.
And,
I don't want that,
saying,
but I want this.
Well, and then she's making the same mistake that she made at the outset when they first got together, when she was when she's connecting sex to like this like key to getting engaged.
Right.
She did the same thing when they got together. Well, now she's connecting it to that too. She's saying, well, when we first got together, he wouldn't, you know, he almost ghosted me because I wouldn't have sex. And then I had sex and now he's still here. That's not why he's still here. Right. He's still here because he likes
sex
you and enjoys
you. Sex is an expression.
You.
If you're in a real, truly loving relationship, sure. Right? Sex is an expression for how you feel for somebody.
Yeah.
It's not just lust and desire. Sex is me saying that I feel so much for you
sure.
That I want to show you in the most, you know, human
yeah.
Way that I care for you.
I think there's a lot for her to do. But I think the first thing to do is sit and talk with your boyfriend. Let him know the anxieties.
And don't give him this back and forth. Just be straightforward.
Be straightforward. Don't bring up engagement. Just be like, it's about the engagement's just a contract. It's not even anything. Sit and have a conversation about how you feel about him and how you feel about the relationship and the anxieties you have. And then say to him, I feel, because it feels like she feels she's not adequate enough to engage.
Right.
And say that to him. I feel that our sexual relationship isn't adequate enough for you to make a commitment.
Right.
And I hate that I'm connecting the two, but I need for us to maybe sit down with a sex counselor or somebody that can help us work this
and
out.
And I would say this too, when you're going to sit down with him, where all of this, here's how I envision this, right? There's a problem at the center of the table, okay? Let's say that problem is a ball. She's doing everything but picking up the ball and saying, this
is
my problem.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. She's okay? Dancing around
it. Jumping and dancing, and sit down with your partner and be completely direct with them.
J-Train,
I mean, that's, yeah.
That's it. I mean, I think that's, and it's tough. None of us are simplifying this.
No, I have my hangups with sex.
Everyone
but trust
does.
Me, those are conversations worth having, but you cannot get help and not move forward. You cannot move forward unless you're being direct about what it is. And who cares about being judged? No one's going to judge you.
No, and if this guy judges you, that's not the right relationship.
100.
JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. We're sponsor people. Whoo! I like the sponsor because, listen, banking is tough. Banking ain't easy. And also, it's all changed. Your parents used to go through and mark up their checkbook and credits and debits. You're on a card. You don't know what the hell's going on. You don't know what's... And most of us are just saying, I'm going to the card. Oh my God, there's no cash in my wallet. Let me go. And we're letting the bank do it all for us. So it's all very confusing. And Dave is here to help remedy the issue of overdraft fees. That is a huge deal. You're paying money to get your money. That's not that it makes sense at all. And you know the sting you feel every time you pay an overdraft fee. Let me pour some salt in the wound. Big banks make $33 billion all on overdraft fees they charge us each year. That's why the Dave app is here to stay. The Dave app is putting an end to overdraft fees for good. Dave is the number one budgeting app in America because it saves you from overdraft fees, tells you about upcoming bills. Basically, what Dave is doing, this guy Dave, is your little personal assistant that sits on your phone and lets you know when you're getting, you know, when money's coming in, when it's going out, when the bills are coming, when you're over, you know, it's just something to keep you more organized than you know how to be. And listen.
Dave is the gay personal assistant.
That's right.
Never had.
You need Dave and can advance you $75 from your next paycheck with no credit check and no interest. The Dave app is just $1 per month. That's $12 a year, which is way less than an overdraft fee, and you'll never have to pay one again. So you'll never pay an overdraft fee, which costs $5 to $10 no matter what. So if you've gotten overdraft fees twice, you need the Dave app. Okay? Dave will help you budget for upcoming events, text you if you're spending too much money, and if you need fast cash, advance you $75 in just 90 seconds.
I want to say about Dave, I'm in.
Hey, speaking of Barbara, Mark Cuban is an investor because Dave invested
before I could.
That's right, and he got crushed by overdraft fees in his 20s and wants you to never pay an overdraft fee again. 3 million people already use Dave. So to save $100 a year in overdraft fees, that's why it's the number one budgeting app in the App Store. Go to dave.com/JTrain. That's dave.com/JTrain. It really helps the show if you let them know that you heard it here. Then download Dave and never pay another overdraft fee again. It's immediate savings. Go now, dave.com/JTrain. It's spelled just like it sounds. D-A-V-E, dave.com/JTrain. Here with Mateo Lane. Let's do one more email. Is that cool?
Yeah.
Let's do one more.
One more email.
Yeah.
Sometimes I look at some of these emails and you're just like, what are they writing? All right, this is a good one. What priority should a girlfriend have?
Oh, God. I feel like these are all the same emails. Even the baby one.
I have been. How do I treat my baby?
Yeah.
I've been seeing a new guy for 3 months now. Feels pretty serious. I've met most of each other's friends. We spent at least 3 days a week together. He casually referred to me as his girlfriend last weekend and has brought it up a few times that that was the direction we're going. So I
stop right there. She should already say, I'm insecure.
Yeah. This is the thing.
That's fine. I'm the same way. But I'm just saying that whole paragraph.
A lot of women write in with their relationships, guy, based on his feelings.
Right.
She didn't say one thing about her. I'm in a relationship.
Right. She didn't say, I'm starting to get close to this guy. I'm thinking about taking it forward. My friends really approve of him. It's all his friends see me. He sees me 3 days a week. He referred to me as a girlfriend. Girl.
I said this on an Instagram post, and I didn't really mean for it to like get shared as much as it ended up getting shared. But like, so many women are dating like they're trying to keep their job. It's crazy. And it's like men date like they're the CEO.
Kind of, except for me.
Well, I'm saying in a lot of these cases,
we have a lot
of women that are like, well, if I don't show up on time and he said I'll get a promotion and I don't know, and I'm making good money and I don't want to lose it. It's like, what?
Yeah.
Start your own fucking business.
Yeah.
You know, they're coming.
I want to tell you to be a businesswoman. That's what's important.
Fast forward to this weekend. He said something along the lines of me being his girlfriend again. And I jokingly said, oh, so I'm your girlfriend now? What are you doing? This is what an employee, it's how an employee talks about a raise they're not sure of getting. So you think I'm getting that bonus?
If he said it, then that's what you are. Don't double guess it.
He got all weird after and then said he was scared of commitment and wasn't ready for a relationship.
Shocking.
Then what are you guys doing? This is the thing. There's so many people that are like, they want to have this talk. They want this big pronouncement of we're in a relationship, we're this, we're that. Go as you are.
Can I impersonate?
Like, you have all the things.
I'm going to impersonate for you how all men date. Gay, straight, whatever. This is how men date, and you describe what I'm doing.
It's stop and go at the same time. Mateo is holding up one hand with a stop, and he's telling you to come here with his other hand. Yeah.
That's men and dating.
Yeah. Because men are sitting there, especially with the new dating apps.
Men don't want to do anything.
Also, men don't want to give up this ghost of a blowjob that's coming down the pipe. So they sit there and they sit, and while you're blowing them, they're looking around going,
who else can blow me?
Maybe there's another blow that could come. And it's like that stop and go at the same time.
They're staring at their chimney like Santa's going to come down and blow.
Is he coming?
It's like, yeah.
No. He said he got all weird and said he's scared of commitment, wasn't ready for relationship. When I asked what part he's afraid of, he said he doesn't want to see other people, but he feels a girlfriend has to be his number one priority, that it was too much pressure for him. He was already making you his priority in a number of other priorities, and you wanted to know, well, how much of a priority? And he's like, well, I don't know. I'm not going to put you over my job. You know, like, that's the position he feels he's in. I know that's, I feel like it's crazy to assume after 3 months any girlfriend would be your number one priority. But when I explained that, he said that's how he feels and eventually wants to meet that with me, but just not yet. I feel like this is an excuse because it's so irrational, but as you always say, you can't tell people how to feel. Do you think this is an excuse? Could he eventually want to be with me, or is this just something he is saying? I don't see what time would change at this point, as he already knows me to tell me if he wants me or not. Why would he bring me up as his girlfriend if it wasn't something he wants? Please help me figure out what this
bitch,
guy's
get
doing.
A backbone.
Yeah.
Like, go, just get a back, walk up to him and be like, look, I like you. I want to be with you. If you don't, fuck off.
Yeah, I think she
don't
gave
be
her,
Sandy from Greece.
Explain that.
turning into a complete whore just to please her boyfriend.
Yeah, well,
like, be you.
At this point, I would take a pen and paper write down all the things you want out of a relationship.
I would take right a pen now. And paper and throw it at my face and be like, get it together, girl.
But if you write down, I want to, she wrote in the beginning, we're hanging like 3 times a week. We're having
That's
a great
good.
Time.
That's fun.
He's starting to call me his girlfriend.
There you go.
And then it's like, what else did you want?
I don't know.
And I'm not saying she, and she'll say her response would be, but I did have a backbone. I said, so I'm your girlfriend. It's
no,
like,
you didn't.
No, you didn't. You didn't just own it and go, yeah, we're together. And then, because he's right now, what he's doing, and it's a thing that guys do a lot, is we don't want to be the asshole. We don't want to break up with anyone because we're lazy.
We also don't want to jump into relationships. So we're going to slowly step out like an animal in the wild, slowly coming out. And if you rush at it, it's going to run back in.
And right now, you have the things you want. Do you feel good? And just like we said in the beginning of this email, none of this is you related. Right. Are you having fun?
The entire email is about him.
And his needs. What are your needs? Are
right.
your needs, are you getting dates a couple times a week? Are you getting time with him?
Right.
Is he making the effort?
Are you satisfied with how he fucks?
Are you satisfied with the fucks?
Are his friends smart enough to be around you?
Yes.
And your friends.
Start looking at it. You're the CEO. You're two companies merging. You're two CEOs.
You sound like Jada Pinkett Smith on Oprah.
Is that how she talks?
She talks like that, her and Will Smith. She's like, we're two giant worlds merging together.
I'm the Jada Smith of podcasts. I've said that a million times.
Yeah.
So I just think her whole perspective needs to like change because it's just not working this way. And of course
also,
he said all these things.
I
want to
say something positive about her. I want to say, look, obviously, there's something about you that this guy is attracted to. You must have a lot of good qualities. You must be attractive. You must have good
friends.
She is.
She's very cute.
Let me look at her.
She gave her Instagram for a celebrity comparison.
Bitch, look at you. You're fucking gorgeous. Stop acting like you're not.
Shelby, who we dealing with here.
She's beautiful.
Shelby's taking her in hot.
She's pretty.
Jewy.
Stop acting like... Shut up, Mark.
She's cute.
This bitch is gorgeous. Stop acting like you need this guy's approval. You don't. You're young. You're sexy. You're living in Chicago. Go to Lincoln Park tomorrow. Wear the hottest outfit you can. Bring a bunch of girlfriends and go remind yourself that you're a hot commodity. And don't
and
let
this
guy fucking...
And that's the other thing. Walk... You know, the reason guy... You know, he's saying, well, I don't know, the commitment. Walk away from it. Take a week and see see what he does.
And do it
confidently. Yeah, and say, I didn't like that conversation.
Right.
If you can't even say, if you're not going to be with me, then what are you
doing? And after 3 months, that's a reasonable.
You having sex with other people? It's reasonable.
Right.
It's all reasonable. And also, you're not asking for engagement. You're just saying, hey, don't fuck other people. And then he'll go, well, we don't fuck other people, but we're not girlfriend and boyfriend. Then what the fuck are we? I don't know what you're talking about.
Right.
If you're afraid of having to end this, then you're afraid of even being a mature adult.
And it's also Chicago in the summertime. Just don't fucking ruin it with this dude. Go a fun
time. I think she's
time.
In New York.
Let me see.
Some of it does look like Chicago.
One of them was Chicago, I
Shelby,
feel like.
Shelby, do you have a...
She looks like one of the Pretty Little Lies gals.
See. I met all of them. They were insufferable. Okay, wait, keep going. Keep scrolling through. No, that's an apple orchard. That's a bikini.
That's
keep
her.
Going. First one. There you go. Okay, that is New York. Oh, bitch, you're in New York. You're living the life.
Yeah. So we're one of the Pretty Little Lies girls. All right. There we go. That's our show. Mateo, thank you for coming on.
Oh, thank you so much.
So amazing. Always great on this show. At Mateo
Lane. I don't
know
why this made me so angry.
Because the thing is,
podcast.
It's a... Yeah. Shelby.
Podcast successfully recorded.
I think we're not annoyed at her, but this is just a constant thing that's going on where it's like, you got to reverse the perspective. We see the perspective is from the wrong side of the prism, and we just want to help her out.
Right.
So,
look at her.
She's cute. And it's like,
I want to look like her.
Yeah, me too. Mateo, thank you for coming
Thanks
on.
Thanks for having me on.
At Mateo Lane on Instagram. Go follow. Go support Hilarious Joe's Pub June 25th. Go get those tickets. They're about to sell out. Shelby, thank you for popping in.
Thanks for having me.
At Classic Shelb on Twitter and Instagram and Snapchat. I'm Jared Fried. We're here every Tuesday and Friday. Keep sending your emails, jtrainpodcast@gmail.com. Nashville, tonight and tomorrow. Also, Seattle, San Francisco, bring the crew. You Up Podcast Live. We're coming to your city. We'll be back next episode. Boom.